Good evening, everybody. Oliver Lee here with another edition of Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. There we have The Banks of My Own Lovely Lee by James Last, and a fitting song to open the programme tonight, because my special guest on the programme tonight is Minister Gerry Buttermer, who's now on his way back to Cork after a busy week of activities here in New Zealand. You're listening to us tonight in Auckland on Planet FM, in Christchurch, on Plains FM and Access Radio Wellington and Cappity Coast Radio, and greetings to people around New Zealand and around the globe listening on Planet Audio as people recover after the great celebrations marking St. Patrick's Day all around New Zealand and indeed all around the world. We'll dedicate that song to all the people from Cork listening tonight, and indeed to Munster and Irish star Peter O'Mahony, who retired at the weekend from international rugby. We'll give you all the sports results later on tonight, and all the other news from Ireland. It's a big weekend for Gaelic football in New Zealand. Gaelic football, camogie and hurling. The New Zealand National Championships are taking place here in Auckland at the Massey Rugby Football Club in Moira Park out in West Auckland. We'll give you details, more details about that throughout the programme tonight. But yes, great activities around New Zealand here in Auckland. Weather was very good. A bit of showers yesterday on St. Patrick's Day or on Monday at the Irish Club. But apart from that, the festivities were good, and well done to everybody involved with all the various events that happened throughout the country over the last few days. As I said, I caught up with Minister Buttermer at the weekend, and we'll play an interview later on the programme tonight, and had a nice chat to him, and it was good to meet him and Ambassador Connolly and their officials that were here in New Zealand with the minister over the last week. A girl from my own neck of the woods, Michelle Kilcommons from Glensk, who was one of the minister's party. Anyway, we go open the programme tonight with Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
There's a tear in your eye, and I'm wondering why, for it never should be there at all. With such power in your smile, sure a storm you'll beguile, and there's never a teardrop should fall. When your sweet lilting laughter's like some fairy song, and your eyes twinkle bright as can be, It's like a morning spring in the lilt of Irish laughter. You can hear the angels sing when Irish hearts are happy. All the world sees bright and gay, and when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they'll steal your heart away.
Frank Patterson there, and When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And I met a man on Saturday who is related to Frank Patterson, Jimmy Murphy. Jimmy from Clonmel and Tipperary, living here in New Zealand. Jimmy's brother has just been elected in the last general election in Ireland for South Tipperary TD. And Jimmy was telling me that his family were related to Frank Patterson. Welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, last week we were talking about previewing what would happen in the White House with the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. But everything went according to plan. Trump said it was amazing that Ireland had so many US companies working or big operations in Ireland. And he said it's all because of the great tax breaks that Ireland are giving them. And but he said we've got to level the playing field out, whatever that means. And of course, there's a huge trade balance in Ireland's favour between Ireland and the US. But overall, the events last Wednesday for the Taoiseach went very well. He started off meeting the Vice President J.D. Vance, who had socks with shamrocks on them and a green tie. Then they went into the Oval Office, met Mr. Trump, no green tie or green socks, with a big red tie, and they had a civil enough conversation for 50 minutes in front of the cameras. And throughout it, Mr. Trump made statements that could stand to be corrected, but Micheál Martin knew better and really didn't engage. A bit embarrassing when Trump said, one of my favourite Irishmen is Conor McGregor. And but Mr. Martin kind of passed by that very quickly, because McGregor recently lost a civil rape case in Ireland. He's appealing it. And later that day, there was a beautiful dinner hosted by the Speaker at Capitol Hill. That all went well with Irish connections there, and then back to the White House again to another big function, even to present the shamrock to the President, and that all went well, and overall everything went really well. Then on the following night there was a big Ireland Funds dinner in Washington, and the Speaker was one of the guests, well, was the guest of honour. And in the middle of another guest speech, there was a bit of a kerfuffle down the back when the Burke family from Castlebar, who were still protesting about Enoch's time in jail, and they went to America last weekend, and they kind of came in and had to be dragged from that event kicking and screaming. But Micheál Martin said everybody's entitled to protest, but it's the way you do it. He didn't think it was the right form, and probably backfired on them. Anyway, overall, all the Irish ministers around the globe, and especially in other parts of America, doing well, and some of them are on the way back. So on Monday, the actual day of St. Patrick's Day, great celebrations all around Ireland. And who does President Trump invite to the White House with his family and gives him the whole run of the White House, including the Oval Office and other sacred areas that nobody really sees, but the aforementioned Conor McGregor. And he even got to speak in front of the President's lectern, and he tried to lecture Americans about what's happening in Ireland. So obviously Micheál Martin and Taoiseach Simon Harris, who was still in New York on Monday, basically were very quick to say that McGregor doesn't speak on behalf of the people of Ireland, and Mr. Trump is entitled to invite whoever he wants to the Oval Office. But of course McGregor does talk that he might put his name forward to become the next President of Ireland. Hopefully that won't happen. All right, that was all the US. Then we'll come back and we'll go through the Irish parades later on tonight on the programme. But we'll take more music here. Let's go with the Pogues and Misty Morning, Albert Bridge. The Pogues and Misty Morning, Albert Bridge. And welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here in Auckland on a Wednesday, Christchurch Saturday, Wellington on Capity Coast on Sunday. Brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and they were the main sponsor of the Hugh Green Group parade, which went down Queen Street on Sunday, and led there by they had a Grand Marshal this year, Amy. Well done to Amy. She's the head of the Irish Mammies group here in New Zealand, and Irish Honorary Consul Niamh McMahon, or Honorary Irish Consul Niamh McMahon, was accompanied by Mayor Wayne Brown from Auckland, and they were in the one of the front cars. But there was a beautiful day, very, very hot, and lots of various people had gone to a lot of trouble to decorate cars, and there was lots of Irish dancers, and afterwards Sean Kelly and his friend Jerry put on a great performance down the square, and wonderful crowds, and lots and lots of people enjoyed the day, and then they went back to the Irish Club afterwards. And then well done to everybody who organised the Mass at the Irish Club yesterday, and one of the highlights of the Mass, which was concelebrated by Father James Mulligan and Father Paddy Keane, and the new appointed priest, parish priest of Mount Albert, and was remembering people that have passed away in the last 12 months. And a man that used to read out those names is not too well at the moment, Mick Hickey. Mick's in hospital, and it was great that I was able to have a visit with Mick yesterday. So Mick, please God, you'll be back there at the Irish Club next year to join in the great celebrations. All right, what else has been making the news in Ireland? Well, sadly, as I mentioned, parades all around Ireland, but as a result of a tragedy in Letterkenny in the early hours of St. Patrick's morning, their parade was cancelled on Monday. Two men in their 60s were knocked down by a youth driving a car. One died and one is fighting for his life in Galway University Hospital at the moment. And as a mark of respect to the family, the Gallagher family from Letterkenny, it was decided to cancel the parade that was all set to go. But parades took place, big one in O'Connell Street, nearly 500,000 people lined the streets. The weather was reasonably good, and parades pretty much in every town and village throughout the country, starting with the Dawn Parade down there in Dingle, which was attended by their newly crowned minister, Michael Healy-Rae. He was about the only minister that was in Ireland. And of course, President Michael D. Higgins, for the last time, reviewed the Dublin parade, and Victoria Smurfit was the Grand Marshal in that parade. There was lots of sport on over the weekend. Ireland beat Italy, but came third in the Six Nations, and Gerry Thornley from the Irish Times says today, staring in the face, that this Irish team is simply not what it was. And quite a few of them players that were probably halfway on the plane to touring Australia with the Lions in July this year probably now won't make it. England performed very well throughout the season, and so did well, Scotland put up a good show against France in the final game. So I'd say England will have the bulk of the squad of Lions players, followed by probably Ireland and Scotland and Wales. Blackrock College, they were winners, beat Terenure in the Senior Cup at the weekend. We'll give you all the rest of the other sports news later on the programme. We'll take another bit of music, then we'll come back and we'll play the interview with the Minister, Jerry Buttermer, who's the Minister for Rural and Community Development in Gaeltacht and Minister for Transport. We'll go this time with Lumiere.
Calling how you call.
Lovely song from Lumiere called Fair and Tender Ladies, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. As I said, I caught up with Minister Buttimer at the weekend, and here's how the interview went.
Indeed, Ciara and Camilla Foyle, we've got to the Tallaght District, Erin Clarum took so, and on behalf of the people of Ireland, thank you for having me on. It's great to be here in Auckland, the home of a great Irish community and diaspora, making a valuable contribution to life here in New Zealand and in Auckland. And, you know, it's a privilege to be able to be in a position as a minister to travel, to represent the country, and to acknowledge and to pay tribute to the people who work so hard in making that connection with home a real, tangible, living, every day, every week occurrence.
You've been here a week. You started your trip off in Wellington, then you were in Palmerston North, you were in Christchurch and Auckland. You started with Pride Week in Wellington.
Yeah, we started last Saturday at the celebration of Pride, recognising that we live in a world of diversity and inclusivity, and we moved on to Palmerston North on Saturday and Sunday to the Rural Games, which is a fantastic occasion as well. And both of those events epitomise the diversity, the breadth and the values that we both share in terms of the importance of people, of rural life, and of the need for all of us to ensure that the world we live in and that we inhabit and occupy is a world that is full of people who are dedicated to the pursuit of making life better for each other.
It's been a very busy week for you, lots of events. Of course, it's 6 years ago today, we had the terrible tragedy in Christchurch, and of course Christchurch affected by the earthquake back in 2011.
And we later read in memory of our two great Irish people who died there, had the privilege and the honour of meeting their families, recognising that they are still in many stages of grief, but again, a wonderful event to pay tribute, to say thank you, and to remember that in death, lasting legacies can happen, and it was a very poignant and a very special moment.
I've been here since 1989, around St. Patrick's Day, there might have been an odd event happening. It has grown so big in New Zealand over all those years, around the world. And you must be amazed at the significant role that the Irish community, Irish people, men, women, have played in the development of New Zealand.
Well, one in six people here claim Irish descent across the world, 70 million of our diaspora. And just here in New Zealand, as one example, John Roach is the Chief Science Officer to the government, just to give you an example, at one level. And across the whole country, then you have other people making a valuable contribution in culture and music and sport in the diaspora, in community. And for me, it's an absolute privilege to be here for the week, meeting with, again, people who are in a variety of different roles and walks and professions, but all of them tied to Ireland and New Zealand and wanting both countries to succeed and wanting to uphold the values that we all share and the mutual understanding that we understand in a world that is becoming fractious.
Well, when I started the radio programme, every Irish nun and priest used to listen to the programme. It used to be costing the Mother Superiors a lot of money in batteries because the transistors were left on through the night. You had a great day on Friday when you celebrated with a nun from Wexford, 105 years young.
Yes, Sister Ellis, 105, extraordinary lady, still very much with it, very active, goes for her walk every day, very much keeps in touch with what's happening, has a great sense of spirituality, struck by her power of prayer, and that she goes to chapel every day to pray a couple of times a day, and is engaged with her sisters in the community. And at 105, you couldn't but be impressed. And you can see that it's about, as she said to me, keeping active and keep going.
It's been 5 years in Maynooth. Ireland has changed a lot in the last 40 years in terms of religion.
Yeah, well, it's been a very difficult time for the church in Ireland. The model of church is changing. Undoubtedly, the decline of vocations is having an impact on the traditional model of church that we all were familiar with. But today, you have new communities in Ireland. You have a cluster of parishes and places. You have a decline in the priest-led and the religious-led model, but there are lay people getting involved in different ways that were never there before, in terms of preparation of liturgy, of funerals, of baptisms, of sacraments, and that's important. And what we see now is parish councils leading the development in parishes, driving change, initiating new ideas, and the fundamental is the same. The church is about the people of God, and that's what we're trying to do in a new modern church, and hopefully we will see a church emerging stronger as a consequence of the decline of vocations.
Well, by now people will have detected a Cork accent. Tell us a small bit about yourself and how long you've been involved in politics.
Well, I was elected in 2004 to Cork City Council, and in June of this year I celebrate 21 years as a public representative. I'm 18 years in the Oireachtas between the Shannon and the Dáil, having had the privilege of being the Cathaoirleach and the leader of the Shannon, as well as being involved in my own GA club, Bishop's Own GA club, and coming to Glasgow. It is that great organisation, no matter what part of the world you're in, that brings people together, the rivalry, but then the camaraderie and the sense that we saw in COVID, both here and in Ireland, where the GA and the community, led by people, brought a variety of new ways of engaging with people during COVID. And, you know, I'm proud to be from Cork, from Bishopstown, living a great life that one could never believe. And that's why, for me, politics is about people, it's about affecting change, it's about making our place, our society, our community, a better place to live and to grow up in. And ultimately, it's about us as government, irrespective of your political ideology or hue, ensuring that our policies deliver for people.
Well, we've had a new government elected in November. There was a bit of negotiating to be done afterwards. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, along with like-minded independents. So we've got a stable government and some challenges ahead in the coming years.
Undoubtedly, the biggest challenge we're facing is housing. It is the challenge. That's why Housing for All is the government's signature item on housing. Biggest investment in housing ever. It is the challenge that we must address. Will you speak to people who are looking in terms of investment in Ireland, in terms of entrepreneurs or business people or companies globally around the world? They will tell you, and they will talk, that housing is the issue we are concerned about. And we're not alone in that, but that's why it is important that we as a government in this term of office deliver on that legacy piece around more houses and more affordable houses for people who want to be able to come back to Ireland and who want to live in Ireland.
And of course,
we'll take a break and take a bit of music, and then we'll come back and continue with the interview with the minister. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here from my studio in Auckland. And this time we're going to have Christy Moore. Another connection with Cork. Sail on, Jimmy.
The leg of the body in that peaceful pagan home to pay their last respects. All the neighbours came along. In the wee hours of the morning, pagan words from the whiskey still, falling from the bushes, sworn enemies or friends again. Someone spilt porter on the corpse in the middle of a song, and the stories kept on coming back from 1941. Sail on, Jimmy. Sail on, Jimmy boy. Sail on, Jimmy. From this Irish pagan ritual, Mad Mary from the crossroads grabbed my arse for all to see. I tell your fortune, Scobie, if you come on home with me. In the name of God, now Mary, some respect for the dead. You can't be grabbing arson at a pagan ritual. Say
this Irish pagan ritual. Father Tim is telling Tommy how the Israelites came in, and Tommy's eating sandwiches that are piled up next to him. Someone started singing our revenge for skibbereen. There's a French lad there translating for the next door neighbor's daughter, Jean-Louis and lovely Angelique. Irish pagan ritual. In the wee hours of the morning, we were howling up the moon, when the mystic wind took Jimmy way up to the mystic room. Up, 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 he's gone in peace to save us all, gone with a mystic lesson from that peaceful pagan ritual.
Christy Moore there with Sail On Jimmy, and that was recorded live at the Marquee in Cork. And my guest tonight is a man, a proud Cork man, Minister Gerry Buttimer. And we go back to the interview from Saturday.
The change of government in the States. I know that Taoiseach Micheál Martin had a good meeting with President Trump during the week, but there is, you know, worrying times ahead with tariffs. And of course, Ireland has a large number of foreign direct investment companies from America, creating huge employment in Ireland, especially in Cork.
Well, we have, I suppose, a change of government in many parts of the world, not just in America, and that is challenging some of the existing norms. It's forcing new alignments in Europe, and it's ultimately about us as Democrats, no matter who we are or where we're from, ensuring that democracy and the value of democracy is upheld. I had the privilege of being in Kiev twice, once pre-war at election monitoring when President Zelensky won, and then subsequently with Speaker Stefanchuk when I was colleague of the Shannon, and I saw firsthand the devastation of the war that it had physically and mentally on people and on infrastructure and buildings. And you can take the infrastructure pieces out, but the trauma and the hurt and the pain of people and the loss of life is unbelievable and very, very sad. And it's a legacy, and it's one that we must ensure that we end the war in Ukraine. And our country has been very welcome to over 100,000 Ukrainian people. But you are right, the world is in an uncertain time. There are, I think what was happening in the last couple of weeks was to see the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom leading a European-led response. We are fortunate, Ireland, that we're the only English-language-speaking country at the edge of Europe, but very much at the heart of Europe. And there will be challenges that we must overcome. That you mentioned the tariffs piece. Europe will negotiate on behalf of all of us as to what happens there. But, you know, it is important in politics that we govern, that we act responsibly, and that we deal with us.
You've met a lot of young Irish people here over the last week, and there's young Irish people all over the world. Once upon a time, people left because there was no jobs in Ireland. Now they're leaving to get experience and do the big OE.
Yeah, some of that is correct. Some of them are definitely leaving to get experience and to have that sense of travel and will come home. Some are leaving because of a different lifestyle choice, but ultimately there's more people coming home than leaving. And we're at full employment, 4.1% of people unemployed, and that just shows you that we have a budget surplus. We are in a good position to if you like, take shelter from the forthcoming storms that will ultimately come. We saw it with the cost of living, we saw it with Brexit, we now see it with the war in Ukraine, and potentially maybe with the whole tariffs piece. But what is important is for people who are listening to your programme, and I want to thank you for what you do on in bringing Irish news and bringing Irish voices, not just that, but to people around the country and around the world, is that people want to know that in Ireland there's a sense of hope, optimism. Yes, we have a challenge around housing. Yes, we must get that right, but ultimately, government over the last 15 years have shown that we can deliver in terms of a better economic management model, in terms of better quality of life, better services, and we'll be judged ultimately on many things. But I think for those who are leaving Ireland, as you said, it's a choice. Our education system is much better, and ultimately, at the end of the day, people come home for a variety of reasons, but we must give them that sense of optimism and hope. And ultimately, that piece of ground was taken call home.
Sport is a big thing between Ireland and New Zealand. We've had the upper hand over the All Blacks in recent years. Not so good that last test in November. And of course, we all remember that infamous World Cup quarter final loss. Close to home, when are Cork going to win another or Ireland?
That's the greatest question that you've ever asked, and I really hope it happens this year. We should probably have won last year, and it's disappointing and sad for those of us involved in the GAA. We're so long out of winning the Liam McCarthy. Sam Maguire is a bit more maybe aloof from us. I was at Cork in Roscommon 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't pretty. But look, a bit like Galway and Cork, we're always optimists, we're always in the frame. We have a great love of the GAA, we have a great sense of what our GAA is about, and it's about, ultimately it is about winning, but it's about participating as well. But I would love to see Cork win at Ireland this time. I never thought in my life that we'd be so long without one. And you know, when I grew up, you were always listening to the 54-66 gap, if you know what I mean. And now it's a bit longer than that, but look, we love the game in Cork. There's a great pride in our clubs, in young people who want to wear that red jersey, similar to the moon you're wearing here. And you lost a great Galway man this week.
Billy Joyce.
And you know, we're bound by sport. You spoke about New Zealand. We can have the rivalry and we can have a bit of banter, but it's what brings us together as well.
Right, we're coming to the end of this. I know you've been very busy all week. I'm sure you want to pay tribute to Ambassador Connolly, Paul O'Hara, and you've got a woman who went to school in Glenamaddy, same school as me, Michelle, your personal secretary, and you've got Jack with you as well.
Yeah, Michelle can come in here. She's from your part of the world, a wonderful person, very dedicated to her job, really has a love of New Zealand that I've never seen in a person like before. She really loves it here, and Ambassador Connolly has done a superb job since she took over as ambassador here. Dynamic leader, bringing new initiatives, creating Irish business networks, working with the community, working with the diaspora, investing time in how we can build cultural, maritime, sporting, business links. But ultimately, herself and Paul O'Hara, who's equally a talented young man, are doing a great job on behalf of our country, both at a consular level and at a diplomatic level. And we're very fortunate that the Pacific Asia strategy has got people like Ambassador Connolly leading it, looking for investment, being an advocate for Ireland, but ultimately being there as a beacon. And I go back to this word all the time, of hope and of steadiness and of calm in a world that needs that type of leadership.
Well, just before we finish up and you give a message on behalf of the Irish government to the people in New Zealand, we also must honour the honorary consul from Clonmel, Niamh McMahon.
Yeah, fantastic person. She's done a great job since she took over. Really dynamic, calm, serene, but fabulous person, and I really want to thank her for the work that she does and is doing for us every day and every week here in Auckland.
Very good. Well, we'll just wrap up with a final message on behalf of the government to the Irish people listening.
Well, the Irish government's message is that Ireland is open for business. We are a great country to live and to work in. We're in the heart of Europe, and a place that people are proud that we can show diplomacy in many parts of the world and leadership, and we're very fortunate that we have a great diaspora who are very much connected to home. And I want to just wish everybody back in the field of poverty there.
That was it, Minister Jerry Buttermer, and we got about another 20 minutes to go before the end of the programme. We'll take a bit of music and then I will come back and give you more details about the New Zealand GAA Championships that are taking place here this weekend. Let's go for the Star of County Down.
Banbridge town in the county down, one morning last July, down a boring green came a sweet Colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. from Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin Town. No maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county down. She looks so sweet from her two bare feet to the sheen of her nut brown hair. She's coaxing up, sure I shook myself, but to see I was really there. As she onward sped, sure I scratched my head, and I looked with a feeling rare. And says I to a passerby, who's a maid with the muck brown hair. He smiled at me, and he says he, that's the gem of Ireland's crown. Young rose in the can from the banks of the Bann, she's the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county down. At the harvest fair she'll be surely there, so I dress in my Sunday clothes, with my shoes shone bright and my hat cocked right, for a smile from my nut brown rose. No pipe I'll smoke, no horse I'll yoke, till my plough is a rusty brown. Till the smile bright by my own fireside, since the start of the county down. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met at the county down. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county down.
Well, Rosie McCann might be the star of County Down, but that another star, a good golfer, Rory McIlroy, who won the big Players' Championship and a cheque for New Zealand dollars, $7.5 million, in the early hours of St. Patrick's Day over in Florida. But of course, the big one he wants to win is that Masters, which is happening next month. Now, there was a couple of finals on in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. You had the Hogan Cup final, St. Pat's Mahara. From Derry taking on St. Coleman's Claremorris. Very one-sided game with St. Pat's winning 2-8 to 4 points. Not a good day for the presentation College Athenry. They were beaten just by a point by CBS Turles. Turles CBS 24 points to 2-17. Blackrock College beat Terenure in the final of the Leinster Senior Cup. Now, just to remind everybody, the Gaelic Games, we had a big weekend for St. Patrick's festivities, but it continues in Auckland this weekend with teams coming from Wanaka, Queenstown, Christchurch, Wellington, Hamilton, Auckland, and it kicks off on Friday night at the Irish Society, and everybody's invited there from 6:30 onwards. Wear your county colours or club colours. And then the games take place on Saturday and Sunday. There's two pitches will be running out there for football, camogie and hurling. And it's at Moira Park out at Massey Rugby Football Club in West Auckland. If you just Google Massey Rugby Football Club. If you want to go there for the Maori welcome at 6:30 in the morning, that's when it starts on Saturday. And it's running right through the weekend. So if you're around this weekend, hopefully the weather will continue. We had a bit of rain in Auckland on Monday. But if you're around in Auckland this weekend, certainly go out there and take in some Gaelic football. And I'm sure there'll be some great chats to be having out there with all the people that are visiting. Right, well, as I'm broadcasting here, messages coming through. Unfortunately, I see escalation of the situation in Gaza is happening over the last 24 hours. And we see that President Trump is talking to Putin as well at the moment, trying to broker a ceasefire deal in Ukraine. It'd be interesting to see how the great negotiator works with his mate in Moscow over the next few days. And as Minister Butterman there said, talked about, we just need peace. And you know, there's not a lot of it around at the moment. Right, we'll belt on with some more music. We go with the Black Velvet Band and Ronnie Drew. Take it away, Ronnie.
Little town they call Belfast. poor sweet happiness have I spent in that neat little town. A sad misfortune came over me, which caused me to stray from the land. Far away from me friends and relations, betrayed by the black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. I took a stroll down Broadway, and meaning not long for to stay. Who should I meet but this pretty fair maid coming traipsing along the highway? She was both fair and handsome, her neck it was just like a swan's, and her hair it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Her eyes they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. Her hair it hung over her shoulders, tied up with a black velvet band. I took a stroll with this pretty fair maid and a gentleman passing us by. Well, I knew she meant the undoing of him with a look in her roguish black eye. A gold watch she took from his pocket and placed it right into my hand. And the very next thing that I said was, bad cess to the black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Before the judge and the jury, next morning I had to appear. The judge, he says to me, young man, your case, it is proven clear. We'll give you 7 years penal servitude to be spent far away from the land. Away from your friends and relations, betrayed by the black velvet band. Her eyes, they shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band. Jolly young fellows, and a warning take by me. When you are out on the town, me lads, beware of the pretty colleens. They'll feed you with strong drinks, me lads, until you are unable to stand. And the very first thing that you'll know is you've landed in Van Diemen's land. They shone like diamonds, I thought her the queen of the land. And her hair, it hung over her shoulder, tied up with a black velvet band.
The late Ronnie Drew there singing all about the Black Velvet Band, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Looking at the beautiful picture of two girls, sisters from Roscommon, Aoife and Lisa O'Rourke, on the front of the Irish Independent on Monday. They were both superb boxers, and they were in the IBA Women's World Boxing Championship in Serbia at the weekend, and both got to the final and ended up with silver medals, beaten by Russian boxers. But head coach of Ireland, Zor Anitia, said these are unbelievable athletes, and he said things are looking good for Ireland's next Olympics. And speaking of boxers and Olympians, Katie Harrington, she was the joint Grand Marshal along with an Irish Paralympic cyclist, Dunleavy, I think, at the London St. Patrick's Day parade at the weekend. Just looking here at the results of football matches, I can mention that Ireland beat Italy just about. Owen Doyle in the Irish Times reckon if Italy hadn't had three yellow cards, result could have been much different. Kerry had a big win over Armagh in football. Dublin had a big win over my county, Galway, and Donegal got beaten by Tyrone. So there was a number of teams relegated, and just go through the results at the weekend. Tyrone 25, Donegal 19. Mayo beat Derry. Derry are relegated, 219 to 117. Kerry had a 221 to 17 points win over Armagh. And while there was 2 points at one stage between Dublin and Galway, Dublin went out winners, 219 to 213. One round of games left, and Galway play Kerry at home this weekend. And Galway, Dublin and Donegal are all on 8 points. Mayo are on 7. I think Donegal, Jim McGuinness, in an interview a few weeks ago, wondered whether it would be worthwhile playing in the final, because the league final is a week before they take on Derry in the Ulster Championship. So unfortunately for poor old Leitrim, they had to throw their game. They just didn't have enough fit players to take part in their game against Fermanagh last weekend, and they play Sligo in their next game, and their coach wasn't sure that he could have a team for that game either. And it's just unfortunate. Leitrim, they had about 6 players under 20, and they're playing in an under 20 Connacht Championship game against Galway this weekend. He didn't think it was fair to have them playing 2 games in short space of time. Unfortunately for Clare, All-Ireland champions in hurling, they've been demoted after their loss at the weekend. So a lot of rebuilding for Clare to do before the All-Ireland championship, which kicks off, as I said, the football in April, and then the hurling not far away after that. Right, we've got a song here, Galway Bay, Johnny Cash, the Roy Philharmonic Orchestra.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you could sit and watch the moon rise over Clonmel, or watch the sun go down on Galway Bay. For the breeze is blowing o'er the sea to Ireland, are perfumed by the heather as they blow, and the women in the uplands digging brady speak a language that the strangers do not know. For the strangers came and tried to teach us their way, and scorned us just for being what we are. But they might as well go chasing after moonbeams, or light a penny candle from a star. Mm-hmm. across the sea to Ireland. Then maybe at the closing of your day, you could sit and watch the moon rise over Clara, or watch the sun go down on Galway Bay. And if there's going to be a life hereafter, and somehow I am sure there's gonna be, I will ask my God to let me make my heaven in that dear land across the Irish Sea.
Galway Bay and Johnny Cash bringing us to the end of another edition of Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. I hope wherever you are this week, you're recovering after a good celebrations around St. Patrick's Day. And don't forget the Gaelic Games competition here in Auckland over the weekend. For me, Oliver Lee, good night, goodbye and God bless.